Welcome to the Sportscast Christmas Eve special. If you haven't yet, please subscribe on all our channels, YouTube, pick up iTunes. And if you're on iTunes, please leave a rating and a review. It will help us out tremendously and immensely. And visit us on thesportscast.net for the latest in news and in sports. Latest in sports news. Week 16 of the NFL had a playoff vibe through most of the games. Teams like the Baltimore Ravens clinched the AFC and home field advantage. But the Oakland Raiders still have a chance to make it. And join us to talk to us a little bit about NFL and dip into basketball, Kailu Borden, welcome back to the Sportscast.
Thank you.
Kailu Borden, an amazing week 16. A lot going on with playoff vibe. We had the Patriots that had a great game against the Buffalo Bills. And of course, we had the Ravens beating the Browns to clinch the AFC. What were your thoughts about Week 16?
I thought a couple of things stood out to me in Week 16. The 49ers eliminating the Rams 34-31. That really stood out to me. The Packers clinching the division. That really stuck out to me. Kirk Cousins continued to struggle on Monday Night Football. Yeah, he didn't have Dalvin Cook. His offensive line really struggled yesterday. The play calling was a little questionable. But that really 0-9 now on Monday Night Football. The Ravens getting a number one seed. I thought that was about time. The 7-1 thing. They struggled for 28 minutes. Actually, the Browns were playing really well until Freddie Kitchens and the play. They scored 14 points in a minute span to end half. And that really, from there, sealed the victory for them. Odell Beckham continues to blow up on the sideline. We'll see if Freddie Kitchens lasts. The Saints struggled early, but they were able to win that game. The Saints are really, really good. They're in a battle. The Saints, the 49ers, and the Packers for the number one and two seed in the NFC to get a bye. So that's really going to be important to watch the last week of the season, who gets that bye, because the Saints have a unique home field advantage in playing in the dome. The 49ers playing in the weather, and Green Bay playing in Lambeau. Nobody wants to play in the cold that time of year. Two fun games, not really matter in terms of like record-wise, but for draft position, the Bengals and Dolphins, that was an interesting game going down the wire. For draft positioning for the Chase Young Bowl, so the right to draft Chase Young. So that was really interesting watching that game. The Dolphins, that was a good game in the last, like, 4 minutes of the game. The Giants and Redskins was good to see Daniel Jones. He set the Giants' touchdown passing record for a quarterback rookie. That was really cool just to see, even though we're in a passing era, that's to be expected. That was just really cool to see him have a nice, great moment. Saquon Barkley rushed for 190 yards, so that was really good to see. The Raiders, I don't think they'll make a playoffs. I think the Titans will end up holding off and make the playoffs. And my disappointing teams of the week were the Steelers. They had an opportunity to win against the Jets on the road. They had to bench their quarterback. That was really disappointing to see because they really squandered that opportunity. And, of course, the Dallas Cowboys, that was really disappointing for them. Carson Wentz really persevered through a bunch of screens, went out three of his best receivers, Lane Johnson. This really good, gritty win by them. Wasn't pretty, but Carson Wentz really owns the week this week. And I feel like the Eagles, the Packers, the Ravens, and the Patriots and the 49ers and the Saints are big winners this week in Week 16.
Looking into Week 17, obviously a lot of playoff scenarios have to happen. One of them where you just mentioned were the Cowboys. The Eagles – their playoff chances are in their hands. Their destiny is in their hands. They got to beat the Giants. How do you see that matchup? Is that going to be a tough one for the Eagles? Like, what are your thoughts?
I think it's tough because it's always a divisional matchup, and the NFC East hasn't had back-to-back winners. I think if Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley can bust one, it's an NFC battle, NFC East battle, and those games are always tough. Playing in your division, no matter the records, because spoiler is always there. But I think the Eagles definitely take the opportunity to win. They bounce back. I don't see them having a letdown. They're well coached. I think Carson Wentz continues. He trusted the receiver, the white side, the wide receiver that they have, really played well. Boston Scott, the running back. Miles Sanders is a really good weapon for them coming out of Penn State. He was overlooked because Saquon Barkley also was there. So I think they continue to play well. I think Carson Wentz continues to use the screen game to play well. The Cowboys are a team that really struggled against the screen game last week. So I really saw that as an advantage for them this week. And I think the Giants defense is really bad. The Giants have one of the worst secondaries in football. So I don't really see them having a problem with that. I can see Saquon having a big game and Daniel Jones having a big game. But the Giants defense can't stop anyone. So I don't see the Eagles having trouble putting up points in this game.
How about the Cowboys? I mean, did they really struggle? Do you think they had a chance to beat the Eagles, or do you think this team is just not all there?
I think it's a combination of both for the Cowboys. I think they've obviously been in a lot of games this year. They've only had one win against an over 500 team. I think the Cowboys' problems is, obviously, Jason Garrett's been there for a while. His record's really, really good. He has 2 playoff wins in 10 years. I feel like he should have been gone like a couple years ago. He lost 3 straight to the thing. And I also feel like with the Cowboys' problem is they have a lot of talent, but a lot of it, they're not always well coached. 3rd and 1, they'll jump offside. They'll give a team an extra first down. That's some of the problems with the Cowboys. They're not the most disciplined team. And I just feel like with the Cowboys is their problem is their owner's very demanding. And when you have an owner out in front, like he wants to do it all. You have all the resources in Jason Garrett and at your disposal. Dak Prescott wants to be paid. Zeke Elliott got paid. I've always said they should be a running football team first. When they run the football, I mean, Dak Prescott had a sore shoulder coming to the game. He still threw the ball 44 times. Questionable play calling, Kellen Moore. And they're not always the most disciplined team. They're not well coached. And I also feel like they should be more of a running football team.
Looking at the playoff scenario, let me read it out to you. The Chiefs can have a first-round bye if the Patriots lose when they play against the Miami Dolphins. Don't think that's going to happen.
Agreed.
New England, the Patriots clinches a first-round bye just by beating Miami. That's very doable.
For sure.
Raiders, this is the big one. They're 7-8. They could clinch a playoff berth. Of course, they have to win. Pittsburgh has to lose. The Titans have to lose. Indianapolis has to win. And then Oakland clinches strength of victory tiebreaker over Pittsburgh. Can this be done?
I don't think it's going to be done because I think a lot of times in week 17, you see a lot of teams rest their starters. I don't think this is going to be done because Oakland's been up and down. I think they'll beat Denver. But the other scenarios, I just don't see it happening. I think the Titans will end up getting in. But for me, the Steelers really blew the opportunity last weekend to get in. I don't see the Raiders getting in the playoffs.
And here's another scenario for the Steelers. They can clinch the playoff with a win, of course, Tennessee loss, or a tie. Pretty much Tennessee has to lose in order for Pittsburgh to win. Do you think the Steelers has a shot?
I think they blew the opportunity last weekend. Obviously, the Titans. It all depends because the Texans could decide we want to sit Deshaun Watson. We won the game last week. We won the AFC South. We can't further our position. No way. They're 10-5 overall, 5-2 at home. They can decide we want to sit Watson. No need to further risk injury. We're going to be playing wildcard weekend anyway. We're not going to get the 1 or 2 seed. The Ravens and the Patriots have it. They're going to beat the Dolphins. The Ravens obviously locked up the number one. If the Texans decide to do that, the Titans winning, but we'll see. It depends, if Bill O'Brien wants to play Deshaun Watson last week.
You're saying Tennessee Titans will have the last spot in the AFC playoffs?
Yeah, I think they will because I think the Steelers really blew the opportunity last week, and I think it was a winnable game against the Jets on the road. Your backup quarterback, Devin Hodges, really struggled. He got benched. So I think Mason Rudolph had to come in. So I think it's a definitely winnable game. I think the Steelers obviously blew their opportunity last week against the Jets. Because they would have had to, they controlled their own destiny last week. I think they really blew the opportunity last weekend.
You don't think that Pittsburgh has solidified that future quarterback between Duck or Mason Rudolph? Do you think they might have to look for someone else, or do you think it'll be between those two?
No, I think Big Ben's coming out next year, so I think the Steelers will be fine in terms of things. But I think they'll be fine next year. Ben's supposed to come back.
Well, I mean, once Big Ben leaves, do you think it'd be between those two, or do you think they'll look somewhere else?
I think they'll look somewhere else because I don't think that those quarterbacks – I don't think those quarterbacks – I think both of those quarterbacks right now, as we've seen right now, are third-string quarterbacks. I think they have a talent in Juju Smith, and I think the defense has been able to keep them in a lot of games. But if you can't crack more than 17 – you can't crack more than 24 points. A lot of games, they've scored less than 10 points with Devin Hodges and Mason Rudolph both. So if you can't crack at least 20 points in the NFL, you don't really have a chance to win. And I think their defense last week against the Jets kept them in the game. They just don't have an opportunity to win. It was a one-possession game for a while. They just, if you don't have a good quarterback, you're not going to really win.
Looking at the NFC, Dallas Cowboys and the Eagles are going for the last spot. You're saying the Eagles will probably get that last spot?
Yes.
Green Bay Packers, will they have a first-round bye?
I think we will have a bye. Obviously, we're going to be rooting for Seattle again. Our defense is really, really impressive yesterday. We're going to be rooting for Seattle again because Seattle, you know, they ain't Niners. So we're going to be rooting for Seattle. I felt like Green Bay had a really good game yesterday. Kirk Cousins, 16 for 31, 122 yards, one touchdown, one interception, five sacks. Green Bay's defense was really, really impressive. That's what stood out to me. The Smith brothers, the Darius Smith, impressive. Too. Seven tacklers for Darius Smith. 3.5 sacks, 5 tackles for a loss, really controlled it. His brother, Preston Smith, 0.5 a sack, a tackle for a loss, really, really good on the night. So our defense really stood out to me more than Aaron Rodgers. Mason Crosby went 3 for 3, kicking field goals. That was really good. Aaron Jones, 23 carries, 154 yards, 2 touchdowns. It's been a while since Green Bay's had a running game. We go back to the Eddie Lacy days before he got overweight and couldn't play anymore. It's been a while since Green Bay's had a really, really good running game. So that was really impressive to watch yesterday. Davante Adams, I said in a big game, big NFC matchup on the road, give him the ball between 12 to 15 touches, 12 to 15 catches, 13 catches, 116 yards, was really dominant yesterday. The Vikings secondary's really been struggling all year, so that was really impressive. I think Green Bay will definitely get a bye, and they want to get a bye because playing in Lambeau Field in a thing is really, really tough come January, so. I think they should want to get the bye.
They probably have the best home field advantage if they do get it.
Yeah, I think they will. And I think also playing in New Orleans is tough with that crowd atmosphere. I think those are the two best home field advantages in the NFC.
Right now, the NFC is the Niners at number one, number two Packers. Do you see those top two finishing off the top two after week 17?
I think the Niners are going to have to beat Seattle. That's going to be a tough game in Seattle.
That's Russell a key Wilson game, isn't it?
Yeah, that's a really important game. The winner of that game goes down. The winner of that game stays in 49ers when they go up to 1, and the loser goes down to 5 with the Vikings being the 6. That's a really, really big game. There's still a lot to be played. Green Bay can get between. They can get with the win and win the NFC North for the first time since 2016. They can get no lower than 3. They can get 1, 2, and 3. The Seahawks are still in play for 1 seed. The 49ers are in play. The Saints get are still in play for a top two seed. So that's a really big game. And I got actually flexed to NBC. That's a really big game.
Now, obviously, the Seahawks signed Marshawn Lynch this past, yesterday. Is that a good signing?
I think obviously he's in really, really good shape. I think you can get something out of him for 4 to 5 weeks. I'm not sure what they're going to expect this week because it's like on short notice. I'm sure he can learn the playbook fast. I'm not sure really what to expect this week. But going forward in the playoffs, you can definitely get something out of Marshawn Lynch. I definitely think there's something still left in the thing. It's not like he left on bad terms or anything. He was still pretty good to play when he left. So I think you can definitely get something out of Marshawn Lynch.
Yeah, because Chris Carson got injured this past weekend. The other one, I think his last name is Penny. Rashad Penny got injured a couple weeks ago. So they got no one in the running game. So Marshawn Lynch hasn't played since the Raiders. It's been almost a year, hasn't it?
Yeah, I think he definitely keeps himself in good shape, and I know he definitely had a good relationship with Seattle. So I definitely think that they can get some production out of that and make it work. Because when he left, it's not like he left and he was washed and didn't have any juice left. So I definitely think they can still get production out of Marshawn Lynch. I actually like the signing. I was not surprised by the signing, just more surprised by the timing. Not surprised by bringing him back because more the relationship and. If you look on the waiver, it's hard to get talent like this in week 17 and we're going to get it late. There's not a lot of players of Marshawn Lynch caliber. It's the fact that you can pick him up and maybe he can give you 3 to 4 good weeks because you might play in the Green Bay where you're going to be relying on your running game and Seattle really relies on their running game. Or you can play a matchup against the 49ers and the threat of Marshawn Lynch will obviously help Russell Wilson even more. So I think he's definitely good.
Yeah, Marshawn Lynch is the original beast mode, so we'll see what happens. If he comes in handy, and obviously the Niners is a young team, so we'll see what – you think the Niners will be starting everyone?
I think they will. I think NFC teams, for the most part, I think if you're 1, 2, and 3 in the NFC, I think you're going to be starting everybody because Seattle's still in play for the 1. Green Bay is 2 right now. They're in play to 4. Niners are in play to 3. So all 4 teams, it's incentivized for them to play. Drew Brees historically plays better in a dome. That's a unique advantage of the crowd. Not saying he can't play on a road. We're talking about good to great, but that matters. Home field matters in the NFC. I think all teams pretty much have their flaws, like every team. But I think that all teams, Lamp-Mobile playing in the cold, can Jimmy Garoppolo, they, Levi Field is the unique advantage at playing in California, playing on the West Coast. You have to travel if you're Green Bay, East Coast team, and all of that. I think Lambeau Field, it's cold. Levi Stadium, it's going to be warm weather. The Saints with the crowd. So I definitely think Minnesota has the dome. So I definitely think all those are definitely a factor.
Yeah, those are the three teams we're looking at for the NFC, Seattle, San Francisco, and Cowboys and the Eagles. Should Dak be signed? Like, how much should Dak should be paid? Or should he be a franchise quarterback?
As an NFC fan who roots at the Packers, I want him to get the highest paid amount so that it selfishly ruins their chance of signing anyone else. But honestly, I think Dak Prescott should get between $30 to $33 million. But as an NFC fan, I would always root for him to get the most so that it would hamstring their ability to go out there and sign as rooting for the Packers so it could go out there and not allow them to sign anyone else.
J.J. Watt returns the Houston defensive end. J.J. Watt appears to be ready to suit up for his team when the playoffs begin. NFL Network's Ian Rapoport are saying that the Texans are designating Watt to return from injury reserve on Tuesday. The three-time NFL Defensive Player of the Year tore his pectoral muscle in October and was expected to miss the rest of the season. Apparently not. Although head coach Bill O'Brien didn't rule out a potential return for the playoffs when asked about it earlier this month, Watt also played only a combined 8 games in 2016 and 17, undergoing back surgery and suffering a tibial plateau fracture during that time frame. Do the Texans need Watt for the playoffs?
Of course they do. If Watt can come back, Watt is a fast healer. Because when I first saw the pectoral muscle, I thought he would be out for a while. When I saw it on Josh Jacobs, he had surgery 2 days later. He's a three-time defensive player. We all know the type of player he is. To return to practice 8 weeks for an injury that would take between 3 to 4 months, I mean, he's heroic. I think, obviously, if you can use a J.J. Watt out there and he's able to come back, this would be really huge for them. He played in all 16 games in 2018, finished with 16 sacks. He got hurt this year. Houston is ranked 26th with 31 sacks. He led the NFL in pressures and quarterback hits when he was healthy. So I think if he can come back, this is obviously huge to them. This would be thing. Let's see what he can do. I think this is obviously him coming back and him being in the practice field is huge. Let's see what it can mean going forward. But this is huge for him to be able to thing, and he come back 8 weeks later for an injury that takes, you know, 3 to 4 months and takes time. He's a brave guy because consider how much injuries he's had in his past. He's a warrior.
What do you think about this Texans team? Do you think they can go deep?
I don't think so. I'm not as high on this Texans team. I think Bill O'Brien isn't the best at coach. And I didn't like that. Other than Jameis Winston's turnovers, I didn't like how Houston Texans took advantage. Yeah, they won that game. You could say they won the game. I like Deshaun Watson. I think he's great. I don't like their running game. I think outside of Hopkins, I don't really like their weapons outside thing. Will Fuller always seems to be hurt. He's hit or miss. I don't really like Bill O'Brien. Not that he's a bad coach. I think he's average. I don't like some of the play calling that they do. Their defense, I feel like Jameis Winston was able to really move the ball well against them. Despite the turnovers, Jameis Winston was really able to move the ball against that defense. And I think against a Lamar, the reason why that matters is because in week 16, if Jameis Winston was able to move the ball against a Lamar Jackson, against a Tom Brady, I think they won't have a foul moving the ball. Jameis Winston threw an interception at 102. Then he threw another one at 110. But outside of that, I feel like missing the top two receivers, Chris Goodwin and Mike Evans, I feel like the Buccaneers was able to move the ball extremely well. Jameis Winston, 335 yards, 4 interceptions. If he didn't have those interceptions, I feel like they would have lost the game. And I feel like Jameis Winston, if he's able to move the ball well against your defense, that doesn't bode well at this point in season if you're talking about a Lamar Jackson stopping a Patrick Mahomes trying to contain them. So I was really concerned with that. I didn't feel like Deshaun Watson played great. 184 yards, 19 for 32, and 5 sacks. I feel like their defense is really able to get pressure on Watson. And I feel like if the Buccaneers are able to move the ball against the Texans, it doesn't really bode well if you're talking about facing a Lamar Jackson or facing a Patrick Mahomes. A Travis Kelce dealing with those type of speedsters and Tyreek Hill. So if the Texans want to think, I think they got to clean up their defense and yeah, you want to rely on your quarterback to do great things, but I think they need to establish the running game more in Houston.
Definitely Deshaun Watson up there is one of the best running quarterbacks in the NFL right now. Let's switch over to the NBA. Christmas, when you think of Christmas, the only sport that's going on right now is the NBA, and the biggest game of the day is Lakers and Clippers, a potential Western Conference Finals showdown. Kailu, what are your expectations for this matchup?
I think it depends if Anthony Davis and LeBron James play. I think it's they're both questionable, but assuming they both play, I expect it to be a really, really game. The Lakers come in at 24-6, 10-3 at home, 22-10, 8-8 are the Clippers on the road. I think it's going to be a really, really good game. Hopefully we get the stars. Hopefully we get Paul George and Kawhi and Anthony Davis on the front. Assuming they both play, really good game. The Lakers got back Kuzma. He looked really well in the loss. So I think it's going to be a really, really, really good game. The Lakers are going to be seeking to get revenge from opening night. I think they get revenge opening night. It's the Lakers' home game. It doesn't really matter because they're both at home. It's the Staples Center. I think the Lakers get revenge on Christmas Day. And a close one.
Of course, the Lakers have been without LeBron for the past three games with an injury. Will he be 100% for this game?
I think I don't think he'll be 100% for the game because I think a muscle injury, it's always like tough to tell. And I would opt to say like he won't be 100%, but I think he'll be good enough between like 85% where he'll be good enough to go and put it on the shelf on Christmas Day.
Something to definitely look at. I believe the Lakers are favored to win this game.
Yeah, I haven't checked, but I think they are.
The game's at 8 p.m. Eastern. You know, once you're done with all your Christmas eating and open up the presents, you could wait at night, finish off Christmas with the Lakers and Clippers. And, of course, there's four other games that day. So there's nothing. You can't say you're bored. So, anyways, are you ready for predictions?
Yep.
Let's start with the NBA. Boston at the Toronto Raptors.
Even though the Celtics are 8-6 on the road and Toronto's been playing really, really good ball this year, they're a sleeper in terms of outside of Milwaukee and the Sixers, they're my sleeper for like the third best team in the Eastern Conference. So I'm gonna go on the road. I'm actually gonna take the upset here. Even though the Raptors play really, really well at home, I'm gonna go with the upset. I'm gonna take Boston on the road in a close one at 12:00.
The Celtics win in Canada. Milwaukee at the Philadelphia 76ers.
I'm going to say the Sixers prevail. I'm going to call a big game for Embiid here. I'm going to call a 30 points, 15 rebounds for Embiid. I think Ben Simmons plays well this game, and I'm going to go with the Sixers at home.
Clippers at the Lakers. I mean, yeah, Clippers at the Lakers, but it's pretty much a split crowd.
I'm going to go with the Lakers.
And the late-night game, the Pelicans at the Nuggets.
I'm going to go with the Nuggets. I don't think the Nuggets have a letdown. It's hard to tell with young teams because it's Christmas Day. I think the Nuggets should handle them handily, but it's hard to tell with young teams. Both of these teams are young. The Pelicans are 8-23, but they're just waiting for Zion to come back. If he comes back this year, we'll see. I think when he comes back, he's going to make their offense a lot simpler.
And
he's gonna make their offense a lot simpler. I think the Nuggets should definitely win this game.
Houston's playing Golden State, but I think it's pretty obvious Houston's gonna win that game, right?
Yeah, it's pretty obvious. Houston should win that game by 15 to 20 points.
Yeah, they played this game before the whole injury debacle. Any word from Steph Curry on his comeback?
I don't think he's gonna come back. I'm sort of taking a jab at the words, but I like making memes when they lose. But I think they're in a gap here. I think they're going to play it safe. Clay's going to be out with the ACL. I don't think there's no reason to rush it. You're not going to make the playoffs. Wow. This year, you're 7-24, 4-10 at home. So I think they're going to play conservative, run the team back next year. I think Clay will be healthy next year. Steph will probably, even though the injury, he can technically come back this year. I think they play it safe, get a top pick, maybe trade Russell and you trade the pick because you're obviously going to be in a conversation for a top five pick. So maybe we trade that in Russell and run Clay and Steph, and then you have another all-star there. or maybe you keep that player, whoever it may be. So may, obviously they're playing for next year. So I don't think that Steph comes back this year. He can, but I don't think he will.
Yeah, I think Golden State is playing it smart, playing in business smart. You know, rest out your players. You're not going to make the playoffs. The West is so dense and so deep that it just makes no point to make like a final second half push. It's just way too much energy. NFL Packers at Detroit.
Packers, they should have no problem winning this game. Packers still have something to play for. They won the NFC North, but they still have sort of top two seeds. It doesn't matter the one seed. I'm just more concerned we get a bye so that you can rest on wild card weekend. So the Packers should definitely have no problem with Detroit.
The Jets at the Bills.
I think the Bills win this one. They continue their season and they finish it up strong.
Pittsburgh at the Ravens.
If Lamar Jackson doesn't play like he's supposed to, I think Pittsburgh should win this game.
Yeah, he's probably not playing. I mean, there's no point in playing this game.
Yeah, he's not playing. Yeah, there's no point in playing this game. So, yeah, agree. And plus, Mark Ingram got hurt. So, and Mark Andrews, so they should definitely try to they're going to definitely rest those players. So, there's no point in playing.
The Chicago Bears at the Minnesota Vikings.
I think the Vikings win this game. They still got something to play for. You're not winning the North. But if Seattle loses, maybe you can get maybe it's the difference between you hosting a wild card game and you being on the road.
So Minnesota.
Yeah, Minnesota.
The Chargers at the Chiefs.
I'm gonna go with. I don't think Patrick Mahomes will be playing since they clinched everything. So I'm gonna go. If Patrick Mahomes is playing, the Chiefs win. But if he's not playing, I'm gonna go with the Chargers. They went for Phillip Rivers on the last day.
The Oakland Raiders at the Denver Broncos.
I'm going to go by default with the Oakland Raiders. I think Josh Jacobs has a big day. The Broncos are a mess, so I definitely think the Chargers win.
Must win for Oakland. Tennessee at Houston.
I'm going to go with Tennessee because I don't think watching plays, I don't think there's an incentive for him to play. So I'm going to go with Tennessee.
The Eagles at your New York Giants.
I think the Eagles win. There's no reason to have a letdown. The Giants have one of the worst secondaries in football. They're coming off a big win with the Cowboys. You control your own destiny. There's no reason to play around. I think the Eagles get it done, and they clinch their playoff spot.
And how many minutes will Eli play that game?
I think he gets a huge send-off. I think obviously it's going to be his last his contract thing, I think, with Danny Jones. So I think he gets a huge send-off. I don't know how much he plays, but I think he gets a huge crowd support.
Redskins at the Cowboys.
I think the Cowboys win this game, but it's not enough because the Eagles win.
Not sure if Haskins is going to play that game.
I don't know. Actually, Haskins is not playing that game. He's going to be out for the rest of the year. I think you just play it safe with your first round. You've seen the experience. Obviously, he came in too early before. He didn't even know the playbook. He came in too early. Then you started him. You benched him. You went back and forth with that. So I definitely think it's a good move for the Redskins to sit him out. You don't want to mess it up. You don't have many things going for you this year. Well, so you definitely want to take the precautionary with Haskins.
Possibly the biggest game of the weekend, the Niners at the Seahawks.
I'm rooting for Seattle so that we can get the home field advantage. Green Bay can get one of the first two seeds, so definitely rooting for Seattle.
Do you think the Niners, I mean, who is the best team in the NFC, no matter what record it is?
I think it depends. I think all the NFC teams have their strengths and weaknesses like any other team. But I think right now, I think it's really up in the air. I think a lot of it for me, I know this sounds like a cop-out, but I know for me, a lot of it depends about who gets the one or two seeds. I think a lot of it in the NFC, to be honest with you, is going to like depend on matchups. Who plays who, where the game is at. I think a lot of it's going to be based on like matchups more in the NFC.
Yeah, some people are saying that it's the Seahawks, but obviously that's just, you know, that's all relative. It really comes down to a lot of it with home field advantage. Can you win in Green Bay? Can you win at the Superdome? Things like that. So it's just quite it's a huge parity, isn't it?
Agreed.
And of course, who do you think is the best team in the AFC?
I think the best team in the AFC, without a doubt. Like I think that I've said all year. I think the best team in the AFC is the Ravens. They have over 3,000 rushing yards as a team. Lamar Jackson's going to win the MVP. I think that's clear at this point. So I think they're the best team. I think the second best team in the AFC is the Patriots. I think the third best team in the AFC is, I think the third best team in the AFC is the Chiefs. They're really streaking of late. Their defense is playing really well. I don't think their defense as good as the numbers like say it is over the last couple weeks, 7.8 points a game. That's very hard to hold onto that standard. But I think the defense has been playing better. I think they found a running game in Kansas City, which has always eluded Andy Reid's team sometimes. They're more of a power football team. I think the fourth best team is the Bills. Strong defense. Josh Allen's still inaccurate to my liking, first and goal. He was a little more inaccurate to Kevin Knox. Then he took a sack on third and goal that he shouldn't have. You know, throw the ball away. I feel like they're the fourth best team. And the fifth best team, I think, is the Texans. So I think the Ravens and the Patriots are the two best teams in the AFC.
Of course, the Chiefs. Without a doubt. Chiefs did beat the Ravens earlier this season. Do you think they could do it again in the playoffs?
Can the Chiefs beat them? I think, yeah. Patrick Mahomes has a really good game. I think they're one of the more capable teams that can go into Baltimore and win a game thing with Patrick Mahomes. I definitely think they can do that.
Random question that we posted yesterday. Which of these is your favorite Christmas movie? Home Alone, It's a Wonderful Life, Christmas Vacation, or the Santa Claus?
Home Alone.
Home Alone is at 32%, but winning is Christmas Vacation at 36%. Third place, It's a Wonderful Life, and the Santa Claus at 5%. Home Alone gets second place, so it's quite interesting because I would thought Home Alone would be number one, but it is.
Agreed.
Anyways, what is the best way to reach you, Kailu, to talk to you a little bit about Mark Ingram?
They can reach me on Twitter at KailuBorden12 and on Instagram at the same handle.
And you can follow us on thesportscast.net or at thesportscast1 for the latest in news and sports scores. Follow us on Twitter. The college football playoffs begin. The playoffs. No, huge bowl games this weekend, and the playoffs begin on the 1st, I believe. Right.
The playoff games begin this Saturday.
Oklahoma LSU, which I heard Oklahoma suspended some few players, right? Or something.
Yeah, Lincoln Riley had to suspend Rador Stevenson. It was Perkins, Ronnie Perkins, and Trayan Bridges, corner. He doesn't really play much. Stevenson is really an impact player for Oklahoma. Oklahoma likes to rely on multiple backs. So I think that was important. Ronnie Perkins is Oklahoma's defensive end who really stops the run, controls the run, gets some tackles for a loss. So I think that was more of an important loss. Stevenson being an important loss. And Oklahoma doesn't have their, I think, I forgot who it was, but, Turner Yell in Oklahoma's starting safety. He got a broken collarbone. I think it was in practice. So Oklahoma's not without injuries going into thing and without suspensions going in. So those, I think, Perkins and Turner Yell, they start for Oklahoma. So I think those are more key losses for Oklahoma in their defense.
Yes, Oklahoma plays LSU for the Peach Bowl this Saturday, 4 p.m., and, of course, later on that day, the Clemson at Ohio State. So definitely keep an eye out for these playoff games this weekend. And if you want to know predictions, what Kailu picked, go listen to our big show we had a couple weeks ago. And I think you still have you still have the very same picks. You haven't changed your mind.
No, absolutely not.
You picked LSU and you picked Ohio State to win. This weekend.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And there you have it. TheSportsCast.net and at TheSportsCast1 on Twitter. Follow us. We'll be hopefully tweeting the matches this weekend, so it should be pretty exciting. Kailu Borden, have a Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much to you and your family, too.